In 1982, that song, Ever So Lonely, rocketed up the British pop music charts. The song was by the band Monsoon. Its singer, Sheila Chandra, was 16 years old, and Ever So Lonely was poised to make her a superstar. Sheila Chandra had her one hit and walked away. She turned her back on pop music and began a solo career that would take her into unexplored musical territories, a mixture of Asian, ambient, and world music. She recently joined me in our Washington studios to talk about her latest album, This Sentence Is True, and perform some songs from it. Her music is purposefully unconventional. Chandra says she refuses to follow a formula that could bring her widespread fame.
It really is a decision that goes along with my personality, really, and also partly the fact that I was so excited by what was possible that I didn't want to be bound to commercial constraints.
You're of Indian descent. Your family is from southern India?
Yes.
And so did you grow up with this music?
No, I ignored it, studiously ignored it. Our music seemed to be very much irrelevant, not being validated by the mainstream media, and therefore something that belonged to our parents' generation. And indeed, the community as a whole were being portrayed largely as a social problem rather than a community that brought riches to contribute. And so naturally enough, I ignored all of that until I was asked to be the lead singer of Monsoon. And suddenly I had a concrete, positive place to put all these rules and structures and rich heritage.
And so what made you think I need to explore this more traditional form of music and discover where it can lead me?
I first got into gospel music when I discovered my voice at the age of 12 and loved all that ornamented style, and then discovered, because of Monsoon, North Indian classical music. And I discovered that the turns, the trills, the arpeggios were the same in gospel music as they were in North Indian music, which astonished me. And then I discovered that they were also the same in English folk music, and they were the same in Bulgarian music, and they were the same in Indonesian Jaipongan music. And I thought, this is an amazing world vocal heritage. Espiritus Sanctus.
And you have Gregorian chants, you have Celtic songs.
Yes.
And it all weaves
Celtic
together.
Celtic songs weaved into blues, Gregorian chants weaved into Vedic chants, which actually works very well. Latin and Sanskrit, I found out later, are in fact six sister languages. So yes, many, many different vocal traditions and vocal percussion and so on.
Vocal percussion, what is that?
There's a tradition in South India, because it's an oral tradition, nothing's written down, where in order to communicate with a drummer or a dancer what rhythm you want them to play or dance, you have to be able to speak the rhythm. And you use onomatopoeic syllables, syllables that sound like the stroke of the drum. So the common building blocks are ta, tette, tedigitte, din. These are, when you hit the drum in that way, that's the sound you get. Then you start to build up patterns. In South India, it's become an art form in its own right. But I was more interested in it as a vehicle for emotion, because it sounded like an argument. It sounded like somebody, you know, losing it.
Can you give us a little example? Sounds like a conversation.
Yeah, and you do both sides.
Right. So you go from no words at all to a song that is entirely words.
Yes.
And it's called Not a Word in the Sky. And you're going to perform that for us?
Yeah. Great. I'd be delighted to.
Words sift through this mental horizon. There they sit. There they lie. Just above the watery sky. They seem to mock, shocking in the deep, deep chill of this vaporous quill. There they sit still. Not a word in the sky. Do we expect the pen to know what is writing? Just what is exciting on the page? The mind is a wordless sky. The world of words meaningless, except to the greater eye. Breathe. And we throw them away.
That's just beautiful.
Thank you.
I think you're talking about a life that has ceased to have words in it, and in so doing, you question what everything means without the words.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. For me, it was, once I heard that sound on the voice, it kind of fell into place for me, because it was as though there was someone up there floating in space in a capsule beyond contact with humans. And it's about a kind of desolation and a kind of creation and another kind of knowing that comes in at the same time. And it's all to do with this dilemma about words.
Do you prefer singing in droning and chanting and vocal percussion, or do you prefer the words?
Pure singing, that's the thing. It's like when a note is perfectly placed, even if I'm just singing my scales, if it's well placed, it's like flying.
When you started, Indian music was nowhere in the public mind, and now it's huge with Bhangra music and all sorts of Indian fusion, electronica, hip-hop bands. And I wonder how you feel about that, and if you are ever pressured to become that, in a way, to become more commercial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there are some people who would like to see me be more commercial and accessible, not necessarily out of any selfish money-making scheme, but because they would like to see me carry on what Monsoon did, for instance. That is the kind of music that they would like to hear. But it's a temptation that I've resisted for a long, long time, because primarily I've been interested in making the music that excites me. I'm very pleased that Asian music has become much more popular.
Do you feel some sort of ownership or pride over that? Do you feel like you're the mother of this?
I think I'm described in one rough guide or something as the first lady of Asian fusion.
Maybe more flattering than mother.
Okay.
Singer Sheila Chandra in our studio in Washington. Her new CD is called This Sentence Is True.